Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Heart of the Psalmist. This is the show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. As always, I appreciate you stopping by and joining in with our conversation. So for today, episode 11, I'm going to share with you a training I did at a local church recently. The pastor brought me in to discuss the heart of worship. Very special for me because the church I went to actually has a private school I attended from kindergarten to the fourth grade. I actually gave my heart to Christ in the third grade during chapel. So it was an honor to give something back to this school, something that was very vital in my spiritual pilgrimage. Now, the conversation I had with the worship team was long, so I'm going to divide it up into two parts. I will air the second half in 2 weeks for episode 12. So now I want you to listen in on this conversation about the heart of worship, something that we hear about often, but what does it really mean? Hope you enjoy the conversation. Check it out.
I want to introduce a brother to me, a big brother to me. My big brother was sort of mentored, you know, by Sharvis. And Sharvis, his dad has been a community leader here for years. His dad is Mr. Stan Whitted. And Sharvis has been in music for a long time. He's a minister. He's a minister of music at his church, at Life Center Church. And he's just been a part of my brother's life for a long time. So I was always really, really small, and he was always, his nickname is Hollywood. And so it was like he was larger than life to a lot of us my age. It's like, wow, like this guy's like, you know what I'm saying? So when my brother went to Tallahassee for school, they connected, and I kind of got like sworn into the whole family. So and so it's really cool. You know, he and I have been talking a lot about getting together about worship. We have similar passions about raising up worship leaders, raising up people who are not hirelings, who are not just, I only worship at the church that's going to give me the most money, and those who don't, I'm out of here, I go to the next church. That's a big thing that happens in a lot of churches. And so I don't want to take too much about what he's going to say, but he's, you know, I spoke more about the hand part of things, the creative side of, you know, but Sharvis is going to speak to us more about the heart of worship. And so I really want you to, we have it recorded, but I want you to take notes because we really want to, if our heart isn't right, it doesn't matter what we do on stage. And so all that stuff depends on a right heart before God. And so welcome him as he shares with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Anton. Hey, everybody, how y'all doing? Good, 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 good. So let me just tell you guys a little bit about myself. I've been in worship ministry for 30 years. I've been doing it for 30 years. I grew up in a house where my mother played in church, my dad played, and my mom's mom played in church. So everybody in the house had to at least try. And I was the one son that God gave the gift to, and I've been doing it ever since. And I've just learned a lot about worship ministry. I've seen it change. I've seen good things. I've seen bad things. I've made mistakes. I'm not a perfect worship leader. But tonight I just want to talk about the heart of worship. This has been around audio and music and worship for a long time. But as he mentioned, my passion, and he knows this about me, my passion is the heart of a worship leader and the heart of a musician. After doing this for 30 years, and please hear me carefully, what makes worship ministry work is your heart. That's what makes it work. Psalm 78:72, if you want to turn there, it says this. Speaking of David, we know that David in many ways is the poster child for creativity in the Bible, right? I mean, goodness. So this guy was bad to the bone, okay? Kurt Franklin, who? All right. We got David, okay? But Psalm 78:72 says something about him that's very important. It says, so he, speaking of David, shepherded them, them is Israel, according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them with his what? Skillful hands. So we see both sides of the picture, right? We see that he had skillful hands, right? But you always pay attention in scripture to what God says first. You always do. And the scripture puts what first? The integrity of his heart. In fact, if you turn to 1 Samuel 16:18, you're going to see something very interesting about David. This is the first information that we get about him, specifically by name. Saul, you know, Saul is being tormented by an evil spirit. You guys familiar with that story, right? And one of his servants says, hey, I have an idea. You need to get a minstrel, a musician, to come in here and play. And he says, I've seen this guy, the son of Jesse. He's real skilled. And that word skillful means yada in the Hebrew. So that means he knew how to play. Everybody say he knew. And so we say that because I don't want you to think that I'm diminishing skill at all. Skill is important. But what you're going to hear me reiterate over and over again is that God does not start with your hands. He starts with your what? Heart. This is something that we've gotten wrong in worship ministry. Okay? We want to be like American Idol. Worship ministry is about the fog lights. It's about the backing tracks. All that stuff is great. I'm telling you right now, you can have all the backing tracks in the world. You can have Hillsong's musicians. But if your heart is not right, God is not pleased, and the enemy does not fear you. Don't fear your worship. Amen. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 13:14. I'm just laying a foundation. This is what the prophet Samuel says to Saul when Saul disobeys God. I want you to pay attention to this. 1 Samuel 13:14. But now your kingdom shall not continue. And here's what God has decided to do. The Lord has sought for himself a man after what? His own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Now, we know who he's talking about. Who? David. David is coming. Now, I want you to go over to 1 Samuel 16:7. Samuel has been sent by God to Jesse's house to anoint the next king. So you guys know the story, right? All the big brothers come. They look good. He's like, man, it's surely. Now, this one right here, I mean, he can play in every key. Man, he knows how to run Pro Presenter. He knows how to do Ableton. I mean, that's the one. But I want you to see how God appraises things. Look at what God says. He says to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature because I have rejected him. That's not what I'm looking for. Nope. For God sees not as what man sees. Men look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. If you keep reading that story, all the brothers go by, none of them. Then he asks, is there another one? Yeah, he's out there in the field. Bring him in here. And as soon as he came in, what did God say? But why was he the one? Because he had the what? The heart that God was looking for. God sees the heart first, and worship is no exception. Worship is first and foremost a matter of the heart. We express worship through our hands, but it doesn't start there. It starts in the heart. Now let's get into the meat of this. All right. So now I did something when I was getting ready for this. So I did one of my Bible study apps and I said, let me see if the phrase heart of worship is in the Bible. And it's not. Don't worry. It's biblical, but I want to make a point here that as worship leaders, you got to be careful of. And when I read that, God reminded me something that we have to be very careful of as worship leaders, is that our worship has to be rooted in truth. It's got to be rooted in truth. Because our tendency has been, sometimes in our culture, in our worship culture, is to assign biblical authority to our cliche worship lines that we say all the time. And the popular song becomes worship theology instead of the word of God. Because I come to understand that worship begins with the word. It begins there. One of the things that concerns, I know musicians, Pastor, they're skilled. But when I begin to ask questions about their salvation, they don't know. Playing in church 20 years can tear the church up. but doesn't know what justification means. Don't know about the glorified body we're going to have. They don't know. That's why they're hirelings. Because their worship is rooted in something that is a sandy foundation. It's rooted in skill. Not heart, not truth. So here's the first big challenge I want to give to you as a worship leader, okay? It's a big challenge. I'm a teacher, and I've been doing this too long. I know how important music is to a church. It can make preaching easy, or it can tear a church up. But it will tear a church up in a way that you don't know because it feels good. That's why worship cannot start with feeling. It starts with what? Truth. Yeah, yeah. Adam and Eve felt really good about what Satan told them, but he was lying. Worship cannot be rooted in how I feel all the time. It can't be feeling less. But if it's just feeling, but there's no truth, okay? So if you're here, you're a worship leader, and you don't know the Word of God, I'm telling you now, I'm challenging you as your bit brother, get into the Word of God. Theology is not a bad term. It's a beautiful thing. God gave you this word so that you could know him. But I promise you, you will not know him until you dig into the scriptures and find out what he said about worship. That's one of our problems right there. Let me give you a quote that one of my favorite scholars, God's name is Dr. Michael Heiser. He has a book I have, and it says this. He says, "The text is what is inspired and nothing else. Loyalty to God's word means letting it be your master. By definition, your interpretation or belief cannot be biblical if it doesn't derive from the text." Here's what that means for worship for us tonight. We don't get to define worship. We don't get to do that. So if you want to be an effective worship leader, listen carefully. I'm saying it again. You must. Everybody say must. Be committed to studying the scriptures so that the Bible informs and guides your ideas about worship. Not Hillsong. Now, I'm not saying Hillsong is bad, but what I'm saying is their songs are only good if they line up with the scripture. It doesn't matter if it's number one on the CCLI charts. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So what has to happen is with this, as worship leaders, we have to get to a point to where we don't just say, it's the pastor's job to do the studying. It's my job to sing. No, your job to study too. I would go to churches a lot when I was in Tallahassee. I would go to surrounding counties and train musicians. And I would always ask them a question. Outside of you, who was heard the most in church? The pastor, right? So how could it work if the pastor has good theology, but you're speaking just as much as he is, but your theology is bad? We're picking songs because they're popular, but are they biblical? Do you know that the Psalms, this was Israel's worship book. But do you also know that some of the most profound theological statements are where? In the Psalms. What does the first Psalm say? What is it talking about? The Word. So you mean to tell me, Pastor Anton, the first song in Israel's worship book was conveying the Bible is scripture is important? Remember I told you in the beginning, pay attention to what God says what? First. What is God teaching you about worship? It begins with my what? Word. It's right there. Meditate on it night and day. First one, right? Okay. If you read the Psalms, some of the most profound theological statements. So the idea here is we have to make sure that we sound good because, yeah, that can mess up worship too if you don't sound good. Now, it don't mess God up. It mess people up. It messed people up. That's why David had to be what? Skillful. Okay? But we got to make sure that it sounds good, but first and foremost, the things that we are saying are scriptural. Because you got to realize, whether you are a pastor or not, you're operating in a sense in a pastoral role. You're shepherding because you're feeding people words. So what if you're singing a song and it sounds great, but it's saying something that's not biblical? Do you realize that people remember songs better than the sermon? They're going to rehearse your songs more than they rehearse the sermon. So what if your songs are not sound? So my point in all that is, I want to make sure that when we talk about the heart of worship, this is a term that we hear a lot, heart of worship, heart of worship. And it is biblical, but sometimes when we hear something a lot, like, let's set the atmosphere, let's do that. Now, the question I ask is, number one, I'm not saying it's not true, but the challenge I ask is, show me that in the Bible. Take me to where the scripture said that you and I, as frail human beings, can make God come because we started singing. I thought there was only one mediator between God and men. His name was Jesus Christ. Do you know that worship is only possible because of what Jesus did? We're not the mediator between ourselves and God. You can sing till you're blue in the face, but if there's no Jesus, it doesn't matter. So again, I'm not saying that term is wrong, but what I'm saying to you is, over time, we hear things, we say them, but we haven't even checked if they're rooted in Scripture. You got to realize, as a worship leader, you're feeding the people something. You're feeding them theology. You're feeding them doctrine. You're informing them about their faith. So you need to make sure that what you're saying is what? Biblical. It's truth. We got to worship Him in spirit, but in what? Truth.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the first part of the training session I did with the Lighthouse Church in DeLand, Florida, where Anton Ashley is pastor, concerning the heart of worship. I think there were a lot of good nuggets for you. And if you're interested in me coming to your church and speaking with your worship team on anything related to creative arts ministry, worship ministry, you can reach us at backtoworship.com. That is my website. There is a contact section there. I would enjoy and love coming and sharing with your worship team. That's my heart, to develop the heart of worship leaders, musicians, and anyone serving in creative arts ministry. Also, if you don't mind, please stop by the podcast app at iTunes. Look up our show, Heart of the Psalmist. Rate the show and leave a comment. I'd love to hear some feedback from you. Well, until next week when we air part two of The Heart of Worship, you take care, keep your heart towards God, do all things to glorify Him. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.